Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Cook and Joe Show. We got Steelers, Bengals coming up, and I have a whole bunch of questions for you and Ron out there coming up in regard to that. But first, how about a little more hockey? Last night, the Penguins bounced back with a nice win. Sounded like Mike Sullivan was a little lukewarm about it, but he'll certainly take where his team is at over Vegas, which has started 1-4. And here to talk about all things Penguins, our friend Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette. Hello, Mackey.
Hello, Starkey. Hello, Ron.
Good afternoon.
I was in your old stomping grounds last night, Jason. Brentwood Park.
I know. Is the statue still standing, or did they take it down?
Of
they
you?
Probably took it down.
Of you?
Yes, and there's not actually a statue before anybody thinks I'm like that self-important. They would never do that. But I'm glad you were there. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Great place for softball and baseball. Mackey, Casey DeSmith was very good last night. Mike Sullivan called him the best player on the ice. So if Matt Murray is deemed healthy and ready to go, does DeSmith still get another shot, or is that out of the question tomorrow night?
I think they want to come back and get Matt Murray established. If he passes all of his tests, and I think he will, I mean, I think they dodged a bullet here, even though it is his third concussion in 30 months. They want to get Matt Murray back in there. They want to get him established. To your point earlier, Joe, they thought that they made some strides. You know, it certainly wasn't perfect last night, but it was better than the Montreal game last Saturday. It would be hard to be worse than that, but I think they want to get Matt Murray back in there. I think the last thing you want at this point is to go with your backup for a little too long, have Matt Murray kind of wrapped around the axle more than he already is. I mean, get him back in there, get him playing, and try to get this thing going in the right direction.
Tell us a little bit about DeSmith, Jason, because I don't think people like know him all that well yet, and he looked so calm last night in the net. And if anything else happens to Murray, God forbid, but he does have an injury history, this will apparently be the guy.
Yeah, and that was something I was kind of surprised to hear people saying when the news of Murray's injury came out. You know, the Penguins should go shopping for a veteran backup. They don't need one. He's fine. Tristan Jarry would be fine, at least in my opinion. But, I mean, it's a drastically different style than what Matt Murray does. You know, you saw it on that 2-on-1 break. DeSmith has some athleticism to him. Obviously, it's a smaller frame, but I think he's a little bit more agile. He's a little bit more of a risk taker in goal. I would say, you know, the highs are maybe right there. You know, it's just he's flipping and flopping a little bit. And I don't mean that in sort of a derogatory or critical way. That's just how he has to do things. And it's funny, he's such an outlier with NHL players. You know, they're so regimented and they do things and they have to have a nap on game day and they have to eat a certain meal and they have to have a certain routine. DeSmith is not at all like that. May or may not nap, may or may not eat. May go out and do something. He'll talk on game days. He doesn't really care if they don't want him to talk on game days, but he just kind of does his own thing. He's kind of a free spirit.
It took Mike Sullivan two games and a period to make some major line changes. What did you think of taking Hornquist off of Sid's line and putting him on the third line with Broussard and putting Rust up top? What was Sullivan thinking, and what do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, the speed is the biggest thing. I don't think that line was playing with enough speed, and I think that's what has sort of – Sullivan's been watching that and wants them to play a faster game. And, I think that line is good for a lot of things. I think they work together often in the playoffs is when it happens. But it just wasn't working, wasn't clicking fast enough, and that's what Sullivan was going for there. And I'm fine with it. I certainly didn't think that Patrick Hornquist was going to stay on that top line the entire time. I think we're going to see Brian Rust there. Maybe we even see Daniel Sprong there. I think that's still very much in the works. But he's going to tinker. I wasn't surprised in the least, but they have to play faster and more effective than they do. It's the back end of that, guys, is what kind of I worry about it. You know, that's a weird third line with Dominic Simone, Derek Brassard, and Patrick Hornquist. Maybe it works, but I have some doubts there.
Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette, can you dive a little deeper into Hornquist and Sid? Obviously, they've won Stanley Cups together. Sid loves the guy. Everybody in that locker room loves the guy. But I'm talking more about chemistry on that line and if it would be Sid's preferred line mate, because the idea is out there that it wouldn't be. What's up with their relationship on the ice and the history of it and the future of it?
Yeah, I can back that up, that it's probably not Sid's preferred line mate. But at the same time, and we all know Sid, he's not going to sit there and throw a tantrum and refuse to play with the guy. It's just not his style. But one of the reasons why they don't always mesh and sometimes you see him broken apart or whatever, it's a lot of working in the corners, doing the dirty work. And it's one of the reasons why Sid wanted to play with Dominic Simone so much and sort of lobbied to have that and ended up getting that on his line. Simone does more of that. You know, Patrick Hornquist is one of the best net front guys in the league. You know where he's going to be? He's tremendously good at his job. But is he going to play kind of a passing give-and-go game with Sid? They can read and react off of each other. Not so much. And Sid likes that, and he likes it with Simone. And I think there's a time and place for it. You know, if that line's clicking, geez, when we saw Sid and the kids going the way they were when Connor Sherry was here, that was terrific. You'd never think of changing it. But if it gets stagnant and they want to sort of simplify the approach, I think that's when you'll see Hornquist slot in there. And right now, you know, if you're not playing fast enough, if you're not going north-south the way Mike Sullivan wants, Ryan Rust is your guy in that spot.
Jason, the Dominic Simone situation, I read a lot of the stories. I read a lot of the glowing reports. Obviously, Mike Sullivan loves this guy. His teammates speak glowingly of him. I'm sorry, when I watch the games, maybe he does a lot of subtle things well, but we're looking now, we're only three games in, I get it, but he's minus one with four shots in three games. He has 1 point, which is an assist. What am I missing about his game that everybody loves so much?
Yeah, Joe, I'm not sure I have a magical answer here. I don't completely understand it either. The only thing that I do understand is I'm not the coach and I'm not the one playing the game. So my
are his possession numbers spot. Really good?
They're okay. They're not enough to keep him in that spot. You know, I look at Dominic Simone. A lot of people point to this number, 2.0. It's his points per 60 last postseason, 5-on-5. And they'll say, oh, well, that was the fourth best mark among Penguins forwards. Yes, it was. Would you, honest to Pete, tell me that he was their fourth best forward in the playoffs last year? I mean, he might have been their 12th best. It's just numbers aren't everything with this kid. And he was given a lot of opportunities to produce in the top six, and he didn't. And he's being given more, and they're telling him to shoot the puck, and you just read the stats. Oh, what, four shots in three games, something like that. He's not authoritative enough with the shot, and I would love to see him get there. I think he has it in him, but right now it's not clicking. And I don't think it's a gigantic problem, and I don't think he's in any danger whatsoever of losing his spot. But for him to maintain a spot in the lineup, especially in the top six, he has to be more authoritative, has to shoot the puck more regularly than he has been doing.
Sullivan liked Ricola's play last night. Did you? And is Olli Maatta going to continue to be the odd guy out? I would prefer to sit Oleksiak myself. I know the size and toughness factor. I'm an Olli Maatta guy.
I'm with you, Ron, and I think Olli Maatta is going to be back in there Saturday against Montreal from what it looked like at practice today. Jamie Oleksiak, I believe, is going to be out of the lineup. And I think they're just going to kind of play this thing as it comes. I don't think they have a set structure. I mean, I can tell you that they loved Juuso Riikola all through the preseason. They loved him before this game, and they loved what he did last night. And you're going to see him continue to stay in the lineup if he plays that way. But as far as how they manage having all these defensemen, right now they do have eight guys healthy. I think it's going to be a little bit more on a matchup basis. You know, it's certainly not like they think Olli Maatta's a rotten player and he's going to be out of the lineup for an extended stretch. Just, I think you probably wanted Oleksiak in there against Vegas over Maatta. It's the better option. And so you sit Oleksiak on Friday, or Saturday rather, in Montreal. You see how Oleksiak handles himself. I think he'll be fine, but you know, I think it's a bit of an awkward situation at this point, but I don't think it's the worst thing for the Penguins to have too many healthy defensemen. It's kind of weird. You know, they've just never had this situation. But to circle back to the Riikola point, I really liked his game. He likes, the Penguins love this kid for how smooth he is. He can handle anything thrown his way. Really good passer. I liked it a lot.
Last question, Jason. We had this conversation earlier in regard to Sid. I think I can make a pretty good argument still that he's the best player in the world because I love his well-rounded game. I really do. It's almost he's become kind of like Steve Yzerman did, how he evolved over the course of his career. But I think his days of winning scoring titles have passed. He hasn't won a title since 13-14. He hasn't been within 10 points, like nine, meaning nine or fewer, since 14-15. And now I see, you know, again, at the start of this season, the new crop of younger players are lighting it up early. And Sid doesn't have a goal, three assists. I think he's played well. I just think his days of winning scoring titles have passed. You?
Yeah, I don't really disagree with you, Joe. I don't think it's, you know, concrete that he's never going to win one again, but I certainly wouldn't peg him as the favorite over, you know, Matthews or McDavid or anybody else in the discussion. I would like to see, you know, Jake Guentzel's obviously going to be Sid's left winger for the foreseeable future. I would like to see somebody really establish himself in that right wing spot.
Yeah.
And then let's talk. You know, it's that Kunitz and Dupuy line that if that was healthy for 82 games, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And so I don't know if Sprong's that guy. I don't know if Rust is that guy. Maybe that guy is somebody we've never even heard of. But you put those guys together and you give Sid a consistent, productive right winger, I'm not ruling it out, but I have been impressed with how his game has evolved. You know, and I don't think he needs to win a scoring title to be an effective player. He does so many things well. Not that I'm breaking any news here. I'm just agreeing with your point, Joe. For me, for him to maintain his status as the best player in the league, I don't need to see him win another scoring title.
That's well put. Now, what about Sprong? I would love to see Sprong get a shot with Sid. My question would be, well, obviously I'm not sure that Sully would want to see that, but what about Sid? Do you think he'd want to have a go-round with Sprong as his winger?
I don't think he would, Joe. I think he would like to have a go-around with Dominic Simone as his winger, and I don't totally understand it, but it's sort of that Hornquist thing. You know, you're just playing with a bit of an odd bird, and that's not necessarily what Sid wants. I mean, does that mean it's not going to happen? No, it could very easily happen. But I think they're going to try it with Rust. I think they're probably going to try it with Simone or go back to Hornquist or try a bunch of different things. But I just, you know, I don't think that's really near the top of the list to try Sprong there again. And adding into it the coach's feelings about him, which we all know.
My God, so Simone's probably, you're right, going to get promoted from the third line. At some point, do they give him a stake in the franchise here before he scores a goal this year? I mean, again, listen, there's a lot of people there that are smarter than me, so I guess I just don't see it, but I hope he proves me wrong because he seems like a good kid.
He is. I like Dominic Simone a lot, and I'm with you. And, we hear these players sing Dominic Simone's praises, but I don't know. I guess I'll caution that the best players don't always make the best general managers or evaluators of talent. So that's why you have people like Rutherford.
Thank you, Mackey.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Ron.
We'll see you, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.